your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths and guide us in your truth. Teach us, for you are our God, our Savior. And right now, Lord, along with my friend Greg, as the psalmist continues, I wait all the day. We wait. My friends, we enter a season often called a season of waiting, and I'd like to think about it with you tonight as a season of expectation. Greg and I hope to offer you reflections each week of the 4 weeks of Advent, and now we're at that great season of Advent, and these reflections might be a little free and easy, a little flow, and I'd welcome you into that sense. Not a rigor, not what it feels like at times, another season of penance in a way in which, unfortunately, in a time in the history of church, it became a caution or worry or its own anxiety. Boy, we better get ourselves ready. There's a tightening up at times like that. It's its own sort of anxiety of getting ready. You feel that. I do. I travel a lot, and even in my bags, I think, at this point in my journey of life, I should be better at figuring out what to carry, what to bring along. Well, you know, I'm not, but I get nervous about it. And what is it that precipitates that for any of our journeys that would actually preclude the deeper preparation, that would have us anticipate where we're going, that would help us have the hope of what's going to happen, not only when we arrive, but as we go? And that's a deep sense of the season of Advent, I'd like to suggest. It's a time of expectation and not primarily a time of anxiety. It's a letting go of that rest. There are two major movements in the season of Advent, an ancient season, and I believe, if I remember correctly, begun by one of our great popes, Gregory the Great, and a deep sense of the care of people, a rich sense of liturgy, people work, the prayer of the people, and he opened it, song and psalm, and in the season of waiting, of expectancy, of opening our heart to see the Feast of the Incarnation, the coming of Christ, for all peoples, all times, all seasons, as we also celebrate in Easter, the Alpha and the Omega, the birth of the child Jesus, the yes of Mary, the anticipation of his arrival. Possibly you're a mother, or one who recently gave birth, or one who's now raised her children, or a father, too, who has that sense with his wife, or has of the movements of themes of the Incarnation, the being born. Maybe you're one right now who knows what it means to be born again, to be brought into through the waters of and the blood of Christ into new life. And the other great anticipation of this season is the final coming. So all this is one movement. It's not just one to two. It's a flow of a coming, an easing into the reality that ours is a journey of work, of a struggle, of challenge, but not meant to be an anxious passage. Not, my friends. It's full of trial, but not a time of trial, of being on trial. In this gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, this is the gospel for this first Sunday of Advent this year, December 2nd, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea. We can think of our recent Atlantic coast, recently there, the Hurricane Sandy and the waves. And then people die of fright in anticipation. Luke's gospel continues on. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The next line, it seems to me to be important. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads because your redemption is at hand. We've seen pictures of people before terrible storms and large waves, possibly, or in Syria or other countries of violence right now where they cower, cover their heads, hide between places and hide out of anxiety and threat. But here in this gospel, in the midst of turmoil, we hear the outcry, the call to stand erect, to raise our heads, because our redemption is at hand. Advent is a time, ironically, in a darkening season and a world full of turmoil, in places and times where anxiety will visit our heart. It's a season of joy. And now that's ancient. That's not just a little bright idea Dan Riley likes to bring into a dark moment. You and I are born to joy and born to enjoy our lives, to long for joy for others, to hope that joy rocks up in the world. That the one who has come will rise. And indeed has. I looked earlier for the poem that I've been listening to for years now. And just a stanza from it, T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding, we shall not cease from exploration. And the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Feel that right now, my friends, as we take a little time of reflection. To not cower in anxiety, but rise up in expectation. To come again to that place of exploration, and know the beginning as now for the first time. The beginning of all things in Christ. The fullness of God's love in the feast of the Incarnation. And the fullness of our longings in God's final glory that lifts up and transforms all the anguish of the world and the real anxieties of many is our joy now. Our joyful longing for them, our hope, what we're feeling is contagious for others. Make it your practice during Advent to rest your heart and then lift your head. Let already now happen within you. Let us not cower in the world, but let us gather and help each other stand up in a new way. For Christmas Day is coming. But the Lord is present to us now, and our hearts need to open, want to open, long to open to the joy of that peace. Peace now, a peaceful practice for you during this Advent season. God's blessings for you right now.